Queen in late 2020, supposedly due to violation of an import regulation. The U.S. government in 2021 ordered the destruction of more than 1,000 pounds of HCQ because it was improperly imported. The feds are insisting that all of it be destroyed and not be used to save a single life anywhere in the world, said a lawyer seeking to resist the senseless order. By March, frontline doctors around the world were spontaneously reporting miraculous results following early treatment with HCQ, and this prompted growing anxiety for pharma. On March 13th, a Michigan doctor and trader, Dr. James Todaro, MD, tweeted his review of HCQ as an effective COVID treatment, including a link to a public Google Doc. Google quietly scrubbed Dr. Todaro's memo. This was 6 days before the president endorsed HCQ. Google apparently didn't want users to think Todaro's message was missing. Rather, the big tech platform wanted the public to believe that Todaro's memo never even existed. Google has a long history of suppressing information that challenges vaccine industry profits. Google's parent company, Alphabet, owns several vaccine companies, including Verily, as well as Vaccitech, a company banking on flu, prostate cancer, and COVID vaccines. Google has lucrative partnerships with all the large vaccine manufacturers, including a $715 million partnership with GlaxoSmithKline. Verily also owns a business that tests for COVID infection. Google was not the only social media platform to ban content that contradicts the official HCQ narrative. Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, MailChimp, and virtually every other big tech platform began scrubbing information demonstrating HCQ's efficacy, replacing it with industry propaganda generated by one of the Dr. Fauci Gates-controlled public health agencies, HHS, NIH, and WHO. When President Trump later suggested that Dr. Fauci was not being truthful about hydroxychloroquine, social media responded by removing his posts. It was a March 2020 news conference where Dr. Fauci launched his concerted attack on HCQ. Asked whether HCQ might be used as a prophylaxis for COVID, he shouted back, "The answer is no, and the evidence that you're talking about is anecdotal evidence." His reliable allies at the New York Times then launched a campaign to defame Dr. Raoult. In the midst of a deadly pandemic, somebody very powerful wanted a medication that had been available over the counter for decades and known to be effective against coronaviruses to be suddenly but silently pulled from the shelves, from Canada to Zambia. In March, at HHS's request, several large pharmaceutical companies, Novartis, Bayer, Sanofi, and others, donated their inventory, a total of 63 million doses of hydroxychloroquine and 2 million of chloroquine, to the Strategic National Stockpile, managed by BARDA, an agency under the DHHS Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response. BARDA's director, Dr. Rick Bright, later claimed the chloroquine drugs were deadly and he needed to protect the American public from them. Bright colluded with FDA to restrict use of the donated pills to hospitalized patients. FDA publicized the authorization using language that led most physicians to believe that prescribing the drug for any purpose was off-limits. But at the beginning of June, based on clinical trials that intentionally gave unreasonably high doses to hospitalized patients and failed to start the drug until too late, FDA took the unprecedented step of revoking HCQ's emergency authorization, rendering that enormous stockpile of valuable pills off-limits to Americans, while conveniently indemnifying the pharmaceutical companies for their inventory losses by allowing them a tax break for the donations. After widespread use of the drug for 65 years, without warning, FDA somehow felt the need to send out an alert on June 15, 2020, that HCQ is dangerous and that it required a level of monitoring only available at hospitals. In a bit of twisted logic, federal officials continued to encourage doctors to use the suddenly dangerous drug without restriction for lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, Lyme, and malaria, just not for COVID. With the encouragement of Dr. Fauci and other HHS officials, many states simultaneously imposed restrictions on HCQ's use. The fraudulent industry studies. Prior to COVID-19, not a single study had provided evidence against the use of HCQ based on safety concerns. In response to the mounting tsunami that HCQ was safe and effective against COVID, Gates, Dr. Fauci, and their pharma allies deployed an army of industry-linked researchers to gin up contrived evidence of its dangers. By 2020, we shall see, Bill Gates exercised firm control over WHO and deployed the agency in his effort to discredit HCQ. Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates, and WHO financed a cadre of research mercenaries to concoct a series of nearly 20 studies, all employing fraudulent protocols deliberately designed to discredit HCQ as unsafe. Instead of using the standard treatment dose of 400 milligrams a day, the 17 WHO studies administered a borderline lethal daily dose, starting with 2,400 milligrams on day one and using 800 milligrams a day thereafter, in a cynical, sinister, and literally homicidal crusade against HCQ, a team of BMGF operatives played a key role in devising and pushing through the exceptionally high dosing. They made sure that UK government recovery trials on 1,000 elderly patients in over a dozen British, Welsh, Irish, and Scottish hospitals, and the UN Solidarity Study of 3,500 patients in 400 hospitals in 35 countries, as well as additional sites in 13 countries, the REMAP COVID trial, all used those unprecedented and dangerous doses. This was a brassy enterprise to prove chloroquine dangerous, and sure enough, it proved that elderly patients can die from deadly overdoses. The purpose seemed very clearly to poison the patients and blame the deaths on HCQ, says Dr. Merrill Nass, a physician, medical historian, and biowarfare expert. In each of these two trials, Solidarity and Recovery, the hydroxychloroquine arm predictably had 10 to 20% more deaths than the control arm being those patients lucky enough to receive standard supportive care. The UK government and Wellcome Trust and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, BMGF, jointly financed the recovery trial. The principal investigator, PI, Peter Horby, is a member of SAGE and is the chairman of NERVTAG, the New and Emerging Respiratory Virus Threats Advisory Group, both important committees that give the UK government advice on mitigating the pandemic. Horby's willingness to risk death of patients given toxic doses of HCQ fueled his subsequent rise in the UK medical hierarchy. Horby received a parade of extraordinary promotions after he orchestrated the mass poisonings of senior citizens. Queen Elizabeth recently knighted him. Gates's fingerprints are all over this sanguinary project. Despite suspiciously missing pages, the published minutes of WHO's part-secret March and April meetings show these medical alchemists establishing the lethal dosing of chloroquines, CQ and HCQ, for WHO's Solidarity clinical trial. Only 4 participants attended the second WHO meeting to determine the dose of HCQ and CQ for the Solidarity trial. One was Scott Miller, the BMGF's senior program officer. The report admits that the Solidarity trial was using the highest dose of any recent trial. The report acknowledges that the BMGF developed a model of chloroquine penetration into tissues for malaria. BMGF's unique dosing model for the studies deliberately overestimated the amount of HCQ necessary to achieve adequate lung tissue concentrations. The WHO report confesses that this model is, however, not validated. Gates' deadly deception allowed FDA to wrongly declare that HCQ would be ineffective at safe levels. The minutes of that March 13, 2020 meeting suggest that BMGF knew the proper drug dosing and the need for early administration, yet their same researchers then participated in deliberately providing a potentially lethal dose, failing to dose by weight, missing the early window during which treatment was known to be effective, and giving the drugs to subjects who were already critically ill with comorbidities that made it more likely they would not tolerate the high dose. The Solidarity trial design also departed from standard protocols by collecting no safety data, only whether the patient died or how many days they were hospitalized. Researchers collected no information on in-hospital complications. This strategy shielded the WHO from gathering information that could pin adverse reactions on the dose. The report of WHO's HCQ trial notes that WHO researchers did not retain any consent forms from the elderly patients they were overdosing, as the law in most countries requires, and makes the bewildering claim that some patients signed consent forms in retrospect, a stunning procedure that is unethical on its face. The WHO's researchers noted in their interim report on the trial, consent forms were signed and retained by the patients, an extremely unorthodox and suspicious procedure that suggests that there may have been no formal consents, but noted for record that consent was generally prospective, but could, where locally approved, be retrospective. One wonders if researchers notified their families of the high dose they were giving to their elderly parents and grandparents in locked COVID wards to which they denied family members access. The researchers evinced their guilty knowledge by concealing the research records of the doses they used in Solidarity when they filed their trial reports. They also omitted dosing numbers from the report of WHO's meeting to determine the dose and omitted details of dosing from the WHO's Solidarity trial registration. Another group of researchers using overdose concentrations of chloroquine published their study as a preprint in mid-April 2020 and quickly brought to print. In the preeminent journal JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association. In this murder-for-hire scheme, Brazilian researchers used a dose of 1,200 milligrams a day for up to 10 days of CQ. According to a 2020 review of CQ and HCQ toxicity, as little as 2 to 3 grams of chloroquine may be fatal in adult patients, though the most commonly reported lethal dose in adults is 3 to 4 grams. Predictably, so many subjects died in the Brazilian high-dose study, 39%, 16 of 41 of the subjects who took this dose, that the researchers had to halt the study. The subjects' mean age was only 55. Their medical records revealed EKG changes characteristic of CQ toxicity. The WHO and UK trial coordinators must have known this information, but they made no efforts to stop their own overdose trials, nor to lower the doses. Although Gates did not fund the JAMA study directly, it's very possible he funded it indirectly through a nebulous list of funders, the senior and last author Marcus Vinicius Guimarães Lacerda has been a Gates-funded researcher on numerous projects. Further, the BMGF has funded multiple projects at the same medical foundation where he and the first or lead author, Borba, work in Manaus, Brazil. Traditionally, the first listed author is generally seen as the senior and accountable author. Gates and his cabal used an arsenal of other deceptive gimmickry to assure that HCQ would appear not just deadly, but ineffective. Each of the studies that Gates funded failed to incorporate Zithromax and zinc, important components of HCQ protocols. All of the Fauci, Gates, WHO, Solidarity, Recovery, and REMAP COVID studies administered HCQ at late stages of COVID infection, in contravention of the prevailing recommendations that deem HCQ effective only when doctors administer it early. Viewing this orchestrated sabotage with frustration, critics accused the Gates grantees of purposefully designing these studies at best to fail and at worst to murder. Brazilian prosecutors have accused the authors of the study of committing homicide by purposefully poisoning the elderly subjects in their study with high doses of chloroquine. All through 2020, Bill Gates and Fauci lashed out against HCQ every chance they got. During the early stages of the pandemic in March, Bill Gates penned an op-ed in the Washington Post. Besides calling for a complete lockdown in every state, along with accelerated testing and vaccine development, Gates warned that leaders can help by not stoking rumors or panic buying. Long before the drug hydroxychloroquine was approved as an emergency treatment for COVID-19, people started hoarding it, making it hard for lupus patients who need it to survive. This, of course, was a lie. The only ones hoarding HCQ were Dr. Fauci and Rick Bright, who had padlocked 63 million doses in the Strategic National Stockpile, more than enough to supply virtually every gerontology ward patient in America. Despite such efforts to create a shortage, none existed. HCQ is cheap, quick, and easy to manufacture, and since its patent has expired, dozens of manufacturers around the world can quickly ramp up production to meet escalating demand. In July, Gates endorsed censorship of HCQ recommendations after a video touting its efficacy against coronavirus accumulated tens of millions of views. Gates called the video outrageous and praised Facebook and YouTube for hastily removing it. He nevertheless complained, "You can't find it directly on those services, but everybody's sending the link around because it's still out there on the internet." This, Gates told Yahoo News, revealed a persistent shortcoming of the platforms. Their ability to stop things before they become widespread, they probably should have improved that, Gates scolded. Asked by Bloomberg News in mid-August about how the Trump White House had promoted HCQ, despite its repeatedly being shown to be ineffective and in fact to cause heart problems in some patients, Gates happily responded, "This is an age of science, but sometimes it doesn't feel that way. In the test tube, hydroxychloroquine looked good. On the other hand, there are lots of good therapeutic drugs coming that are proven to work without the severe side effects." Gates went on to promote Gilead's remdesivir as the best alternative, despite its lackluster track record compared to HCQ. He didn't mention having a large stake in Gilead, which stood to make billions if Dr. Fauci was able to run remdesivir through the regulatory traps. Obsequious reporters consistently encouraged Gates to portray himself as an objective expert, and Gates used that interview to discredit HCQ and also me. His Bloomberg questioner opened the door with a typical softball. "For years, people have said if anti-vaxxers had lived through a pandemic the way their grandparents did, they'd think differently. Gates replied, "The two times I've been to the White House since 2016, I was told I had to go listen to anti-vaxxers like Robert Kennedy Jr. So yes, it's ironic that people are questioning vaccines, and we're actually having to say, oh my God, how else can you get out of a tragic pandemic?" If he had only asked me, I could have told him. Lancet Gate. It remains an enduring mystery just which powerful figures caused the world's two most prestigious scientific journals, The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine, NEJM, to publish overtly fraudulent studies from a non-existent database owned by a previously unknown company. Anthony Fauci and the vaccine cartel celebrated The Lancet and NEJM papers on May 22, 2020, as the final nail in hydroxychloroquine's coffin. Both studies in these respected publications relied on data from the Surgisphere Corporation, an obscure Illinois-based medical education company that claimed to somehow control an extraordinary global database boasting access to medical information from 96,000 patients in more than 600 hospitals. Founded in 2008, this sketchy enterprise had 11 employees, including a middling science fiction writer and a porn star events hostess. Surgisphere claimed to have analyzed data from six continents and hundreds of hospitals that had treated patients with HCQ or CQ in real time. Someone persuaded The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine to publish two Surgisphere studies in separate articles on May 1st and 22nd. Like the other Gates-supported studies, The Lancet article portrayed HCQ as ineffective and dangerous. The Lancet study said that the Surgisphere data proved that HCQ increased cardiac mortality in COVID-19 patients. Based on this study,